And we're happy to have with us, as we always do, the one and only Bernie Kosar. Bernie, how you doing, man?
Doing good, Vic.
Well, Bernie, this has been a very sad, surreal week, actually, in Northeast Ohio. I want to start with this before we get into the football discussion, because I think all of us in one way or another has felt the pain that has come from the shootings at Chardon High School. And I know in particular you spend a lot of time around that area, that it hit you very hard.
Yeah, you know, it's it really helps put things in perspective to really what's important and how you prioritize things. And I spend quite a bit of time on out the east side of Cleveland out there. And, you know, the family, first and foremost, to the kids and to the victims, to the families, to the students out there that are going through so much. You know, obviously our prayers and our thoughts and prayers go out to them. And this type of tragedy, though, and to see how they're handling it and rallying together, how great the people of Northeast Ohio are, that even last night they're getting back to, like, the basketball game. They went out to play Madison.
Right.
And the people at Madison High School, how fantastic they treated the Chardon school and the Chardon crazies that had, I think, 4 busloads of kids come out to support the team on the road like that. And then being in a away game, how Madison at their place kind of embraced the situation of them. It just shows you know, how much kind of love and respect and spirit, you know, we have in our community.
Yeah, it that is beautiful. And I did see a lot of the tweets and stuff that emanated from that game, and people just being very touched by the show of support, by the show of unity, togetherness, because, again, as a community, and Bernie, I mean, I've been here not all that long, I mean, on a regular basis since June, and you, in a short amount of time, you realize what an area of great neighbors this is. And then when something just unfathomable happens, as did there, you really see the best of people come out in the way they support. And you can't imagine the pain that the folks, the parents of those victims have suffered, and then their friends and their family. And to just to hear them also talk about the support they've received, very gratifying to know that, and know that you're part of a community like this.
Yeah, that's well said, Vic. I mean, it's actually perfectly said that, again, it puts a prioritizes the kind of opens one's eyes, or at least does to me, of you know, what's sometimes really important, and how you should maybe conduct yourself and really value certain times and certain things more so than others. And right. And I think these kids and their family, again, our thoughts and prayers are just with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on to football, and we're talking about this Browns team that earlier this week did a major contract extension with DeQuell Jackson. And now it leaves open the question of what to do if they do something with their franchise tag that's available to them. And the names that will come up in this conversation primarily would be that of Phil Dawson or Peyton Hillis. And a lot of people, Bernie, asking me on a regular basis if the tag would be used on a Hillis, not wanting to see him, say, get away from the team. But I think you could make a case certainly about Dawson because of how valuable he was, frankly, the most valuable player the Browns had in so many instances last year.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Again, this first assigning of DeQuell Jackson opened up, besides putting a key part of the defense and the core group stay together, it opened up quite a bit of flexibility. And you heard Coach Shurmur talk about the flexibility that we have in the draft this year because of last year's trade, and I think the 9 picks in the draft, 2 in the first round, it gives you a lot of mobility and flexibility. Same thing here. Besides, you're locking up one of your good leaders of your team in DeQuell Jackson, but it gives you more flexibility to do stuff. And again, Peyton Hillis is, you know, at times has played incredibly at incredibly high levels, but Phil Dawson has been so consistent since coming here and the new team coming back, and I think 7 kicks over 50 yards last year. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you used, again, that was used on him a year ago, the tag. So you say to yourself, okay, it worked then. It was a use. It performed its function then. It created, I know, a certain amount of doubt or question in his mind as to just what his future might be. But I think as a valuable tool for someone that you want to make sure, and I think first and foremost with a franchise tag, it's used on a guy that you fear or worry could get away from you. My sense, just looking at Dawson and looking at Hillis, is that there's a greater chance that Dawson in the open market gets away from you. That with Hillis, I think there's still that better opportunity to find a way to keep him if that's what you're out to do, and reaching an agreement on a contract that might be able to keep him aboard without having to go to the tag.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. The Phil Dawson to so many teams out there, to have such an accurate, consistent kick under pressure kicker that's able to consistently kick 50-plus yards field goals accurately, it'll be incredibly high demand for something like that. So, you know, sometimes I know players don't particularly like the franchise tag, but I actually think it's a sign of respect as opposed to a sign of disrespect, because it shows that, you know, we do want you here because you are one of our franchise guys.
Right.
And with the salary cap today and managing it, and like just looking at what through the Steelers are going through right now, you know, yeah, there's certain guys that probably deserve more money. But you've got to balance and put a team together. And you look at the issues that New Orleans is having. Drew Brees probably does deserve the more money that he's talking about, that they're talking about. But then at what price do you pay if every player gets the maximum fair market value? Then is in New Orleans, are they going to sign Marcus Colston? Are they going to have the all-pro left guard? Are they going to be able to re-sign Jimmy Graham next year when he comes up? Those situations are definitely like that, and those couple places definitely are running through the Browns' thoughts as to how do we manage and add to a team and stay without having hard salary cap duress.
Yeah, without question. And again, Bernie, through your experiences, you were on teams that had that consistency or that reliable guy to kick field goals for you. I would imagine in your mind, you when you knew that club was in your golf bag, so to speak, when you needed it, it was a comforting thing. But it was also, as a quarterback, it influenced and your coaching staff your strategy.
Well, yeah, club in the golf bag, money in the bank, and when you were able to feel that secure about the end of, say, the second quarter, and you're taking a drive, and you know you can make that attempt, or knowing that you need to just get into the 35 to 40 yard range to get off a potential game winning kick, it makes it significantly easier on the play calling and the execution from the offensive standpoint, no doubt about it.
Bernie Kosar joining us, as he always does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another big story this week, Bernie, was the announcement by the Steelers that they will be parting ways with veteran receiver Hines Ward. And you can speak to this in a couple of ways. You know Hines' career, and you certainly know that Steeler team well. And you can also address it from the standpoint of knowing when to say when on a receiver, having, again, had that was your world through your whole career. When receivers reach a certain point, a certain age, a certain stage of their careers, just address for me that idea of what the value still might be with Hines Ward. People want to connect the dots and say, hey, maybe he can end up wearing a Browns uniform, but, you know, seemingly he's going to wear another uniform at some point, and it'll look weird because he's not a Steeler. But what do you think that value is, and how do you see that process playing out?
You know, I hear a lot of people talking about that and saying, wow, it's great to bring in the veteran guy, and he'll teach the young guys how to work and what to do. And that's true if you are incredibly specific at the beginning before signing him that's what you're here to do. But a lot of my history with older receivers that are changing teams after they've been released at the end of their career has not been very good, because they still want to be a starter. They still want the amount of balls to them. They want to take the most reps. They want to make the plays, but they've lost a step, like we've all lost a step, and it's hard to sometimes admit that. So if you're coming in with the idea of being a team leader from a production point of view and being the main guy, you could have a big recipe for problems. If you come in understanding that you're going to be a kind of a role model and a support player, you have a chance of success more so on the latter.
What about Hines Ward specifically and his career with the Steelers and this past season with the Steelers? He just didn't look like the fit for an offense that was taking a lot of those downfield shots, that where Mike Wallace was so important to Ben Roethlisberger, and it seemed that Hines Ward was just more of the bit player to that offense and to what Roethlisberger was looking to do play after play. And I just wondered your thoughts on that and how the Steelers approach this, because when that organization says goodbye to a player, they don't arrive at that lightly. They're usually pretty accurate about when they say goodbye.
Yeah, that's another thing that really you have to take into effect, that they've had historically in the last, say, 15 years, a fantastic record of knowing when their leaders, their playmakers, their team leaders are at the end of the ropes. And I don't know of many who have left to go on to stardom. And that's something also, too, where they're with him every day. They know, look, he's had 14 years. The average career is 3 years. I mean, 14 productive years. Last year was his least productive with 50 catches. He got to 1,000. Interestingly, on his 1,000th catch, it was for -3 yards. So it's almost like maybe they were trying to feed to get to the record there, or to the milestone. So again, the Steelers are with him every day. Sometimes you gotta kind of look around at what they're doing and maybe take a little nudge from what their history has showed they're doing, and have to definitely, can't discount that.
Well, Bernie, great stuff as always from you. We appreciate it, and we look forward to picking up our discussion on football again next week.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Talk to you on Monday.
Yep. He is Bernie Kosar, one and only, joining us as he always does on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.